Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. As soon as that music started playing, Chuck started singing Sweet Home Alabama. And I said, Chuck, that's not Alabama. But I thought it sure does sound close, doesn't it? Huh?
That'd be
cool. Oh, yeah. It's good to have fun in church, isn't it?
Yeah.
Choir, thank you, Mary Margaret and Denise. We appreciate everything y'all do. Music and our sound people and all the people that works in the background to make everything possible for us to come and enjoy our fellowship together. And looking at our scripture this morning, in Matthew chapter 14, Jesus here walks on water. Now, I'm not going to read all of this, but just a couple verses, and I will share with you intermittently about what is taking place in the life of disciples and those who met Jesus and knew Jesus personally, and how we should be living a focused life. And we need to really sincere zero in on that on a daily basis. Because when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you know, the Holy Spirit, it comes into your life and it seals you as a child of God. As soon as you accept Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit seals you in the power of God. And this is an amazing, amazing one-time experience. And it should be as fresh today as it was the day that you received Christ as your Savior. It's exciting to me today in my relationship with the Lord as it was on April the 5th, 1964. And we, and the Lord wants us to grow closer. And our relationship and our faith needs to be stronger each day. Just like your marriage, right? Your marriage should be stronger and more exciting each day. The more you're able to learn more about your spouse. And vice versa, right? You get closer. There's a closer bond. And if that's not happening in your life, something is not right. Is that correct? If our relationship with the Lord is not stronger and exciting it was the day that you first said, Jesus Christ, forgive me of my sins, then there's something wrong on our part, not on the Lord's part, because He is always right here with us. And it's us who slip back or decline in our faith. And with the disciples, they struggle with this constantly because they were human just like you and I. But we have an awesome responsibility as Christ took the responsibility to go to the cross to die for our sins. And here in this text, it doesn't take you long if you read the entire chapter 14, and especially the part where Jesus walked on the water, and Peter decided he wanted to get out of the boat. Most of us would want to stay in the boat, right? I've been out of the boat before. Not trying to walk on water because I slipped and I went overboard. And there wasn't nobody there to catch me except the water. But you know what caused Peter to sink? It was doubt. Doubt. And it doesn't take a whole lot of doubt to make you sink. It didn't take a whole lot of doubt for Peter to sink and down. It only took a little bit. And it only took enough that he took his eyes off of the Lord. Just momentarily, because he began to listen to the things that was going on around him. The wind, the waves got kind of rough. And it got distracted just a little bit. Does anybody have any trouble getting distracted? Just a little bit? And every time we get this distracted, something happens, then doubt enters, and that's what happened. And now listen to scripture here, though. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowd away. Now, Jesus had something in mind here, didn't he? Something that you and I should have in mind every day. Before we go to bed, and when first thing we get up in the morning. After he had sent the crowd away, he went up into the mountain by himself. Why did he do that? Because he wanted to communicate with the Heavenly Father. See, he said, it says that he went up into the mountain by himself to pray, to communicate. And when it was evening, he was there alone. So it sounded like he was there for quite a while. Jesus was probably already tired because he'd already been sharing a message with the crowd. Probably hadn't eaten either. But Jesus wanted to be refreshed. How do you get refreshed? Most of us, if we get tired, and we're in a crowd, or we had a busy day, just everything didn't go right, well, I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to my closet, I'm going to my mountain, and I'm going to pray till the evening or till dawn. What do? We go to our easy chair or our recliner, we kick back, and we check into some snoozes, don't we? Is that right? Have I got it right? It don't do me to sit down if I'm real tired like that, because that's exactly what happened to me. And I don't want that to happen until I'm ready to call it an evening.
If the older you get, the easier it is to do that.
Well, I hear no excuses all the time. Is that right? Those are excuses, aren't they? Now, I understand what you're saying. Just don't allow that to happen, Ed. But you know, it's keeping our focus where it ought to be. You see, as you do, you get to know the Lord in a more personal way. You discover his purpose for your life. You learn to listen and obey him, experience his presence, his power, his wisdom, and understand that it means to live the Christian life. See, it's easy sometimes to become distracted and focus on the wrong things. And that's exactly, if you read on in the scripture, that happened to Peter. It happened many a times to Peter, and it would take the Lord sometimes to reel it back in. And sometimes it takes the Lord to reel you back in, or to reel me back in, to bring us back to where we need to be with him. See, it's not about ourselves and what we desire in this life, but it's about him. And see, Jesus, he had the Heavenly Father in his focus, I believe, 24/7. Because no matter what day or what kind of a day he had, or what kind of experiences, what kind of miracles he were providing, or signs and wonders that people were looking at the end of the day or before the day, he was in, early in the morning, he was in the mountains or he was in the Mount of Olives, and he was praying. And in the evenings, he was praying. And I want you to think about that this morning. Jesus, being perfect in all ways, he did this. We're not. And how much more that we need to be doing that on a regular basis, in order that we might be able to focus and living a focused life. Now, I thought about bringing two pitchers of water up here today and show you in a little experiment, but I want you just to visualize where I'm going with this, okay? Say I have a pitcher of water here and one here. But you say there's nothing there, hold it. So say I just put them both right here. Okay, I have two canned Cokes. One is a regular Coke and one is a Diet Coke. Okay? Okay, what happens when I put a regular Coke in the water? What happens to it?
It sinks.
It sinks. How do you know that? You tried it?
Yes.
You tried it. If I got a Diet Coke and I put it in the other pitcher of water, what happens to it?
It floats.
What?
It floats.
It floats. Why does it float? That's right. It's all diet. But why does it float with Christ? Other than it, it's all diet. Guys, it doesn't have this in it. One pack of sugar. And there's what? 1 gram in here, maybe? 1 gram of sugar is the difference of that one Coke sinking and the other one rising to the top. That's all it takes for you and I to sink or be distracted in our relationship with the Lord. You think about that. One little pack of sugar. So oftentimes we think, okay, I've got a big sin in my life, and I don't know how to deal with it. And I've talked to people who don't even know how to deal with a little sin. But I know someone that does, right? And sometimes all God asks us to bring it to Him. Bring that a weakness. We can call it a weakness, but sometimes weaknesses turn into sin if we continually to repeat it. And for Peter, that's all it took was a little. Somebody must have stuck it in his pocket when he got out of the boat, because he went down, right? And what did Peter say when he began to sink? Save me, Lord. Save me. And Jesus reached out and pulled him back up, and he said, oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. You see, sometimes it's not that we don't have faith. It is because our faith is weak sometimes. I talked to a number of people over the years and recently who are dealing with a lot of struggles in their life and circumstances. And it all boils down because of their focus. And I shared last Sunday about a man that I had not met before, because he had left the Lord out of his life for many, many, many years. He had lost his focus on what life was all about. And talking with him, it was about everything else around him. And it was immediately he was dealing with in his life. And that's why I said, where is the Lord in this midst of the things that's in your life? He said, he's not. And I said, you suppose that he should be in the middle of this, helping you and dealing with this and working and coming to a conclusion? And the young man said, you're right. And when he headed out the door, he turned back and he said, I'm going to work on it today. I haven't seen him since, and I hope he's still working on it. And that's what happened. That's what happened to Peter. Just the smallest little distraction, that as one gram of sugar can distract us or weigh us down or cause us to sink, and it comes down to doubt. Doubt. Doubting where the Lord is even with you or he even hears your prayers. It's just wondering, God, where are you when I need you the most? Well, he's right there, right? It's us. Recognizing that as frailty as we are, our total dependence comes from the Lord. Now, I want us to look at some things here this morning. Living a focused life is a confident conviction. It's a confident conviction. You got to have confidence in the Lord, okay? Not in yourself. It's a total confident conviction that God will do whatever he has promised. See, it was his desire that all believers would be saved and also that they would grow in faith and walk with him daily. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 says, in the New Living Translation, I like this, and that's why I selected this verse in New Living Translation. It said, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Okay, it's not once we accept the Lord as our personal Savior and say, okay, I've got it, I'm sealed. And if you do that, you probably read Ephesians chapter 1, that you were selected from day one, that you were justified with Jesus Christ, and you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's well and good. That's past, present, and future. But Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says, you must do what? Continue to follow him. You got to leave everything, all that baggage behind you, like Paul said. You know, all of that baggage and luggage I carried around for all these years and I thought it was going to do me some good. Paul said, now it's behind me. I don't need it anymore. And a lot of times we want to bring garbage or baggage out of the closet, don't we? And that's exactly what Satan wants us to do. He wants to continually remind us of past sins or something in our life that we are just still holding on to with all of our life. And Jesus says, just let it go. Let me control your thoughts. Let me control your mind. Let me control your heart. And then you don't have to worry about sinking with one gram of salt in your pocket, which this one identifies with doubt. You see, doubt causes a lot of things in your life to go wrong. And it's because we're not putting Christ first in our life and we're not focusing on Christ with all of our life. It has to be a continual surrender each day. It's getting up every morning and say, Lord, today I surrender to you a new and a fresh day today. This is not old news, is it? But it's something that you and I need to be reminded of. I need to remind myself of that each day. Yep. As a pastor. But first of all, because I'm a child of God. I'm a pastor because the calling that he placed in my life and I accepted years and years ago. But the number one calling in my life from the very beginning when I met Jesus Christ as my personal Savior was when I became a Christian at age 14 back in 1964. And the Holy Spirit often reminds me of that moment that my sins were forgiven and no longer remembered. And therefore, I am free to walk in the newness of life with Christ. You see, that should be the freshness that we should experience each day of our life, knowing that each day is like a new day just beginning as we did when we said yes for the first time and entered the waters of baptism and said, Lord, you're still in control of my life. And don't let doubt or temptation or anything enter my life that I might be distracted or even think about being yielding to. Well, another thing, understanding the nature of God. You see, the Father wants His children to know Him better. How many of you as parents want your children to know you better? Yeah. I want mine to know me better. All of you, us wants our children to know us better, who we are, what we stand for. And so does our Father wants to know us better. How do we know Him better? We spend time with Him. Just like Jesus, He desired and He made it a part of His life to spend time with the Heavenly Father. And the more time we spend with the Heavenly Father in prayer and in the Word, the less likely we're going to be distracted and where doubt enters in, and then we get involved in all sorts of things in our life that a Christian should not be involved in. See, that's saying, Lord, you have the priority in my life. And if He's not the priority in your life, then something else is. And if something else is, then Jesus is, and the Lord and the Father and the Holy Spirit is somewhere down the line. And they're trying to play catch up with you to get back in line to be first. And sometimes that may not happen until we come to the point of despair and say, oh Lord, come in and fix this in my life. Black lady got so involved with so many things in her life that it hindered her Bible study, it hindered her church time and her prayer time. And she became beside herself, and she went to the Lord, and finally went to the Lord and said, Lord, what am I going to do? And it was like a voice in her head, in her heart, said, you know what? I didn't tell you to take all this on. I didn't tell you to exert yourself to the point of insanity. So either give up some of this stuff or stop your complaining. So she quit complaining and realized her priorities were out of order. And that can happen to pastors, can it? It can happen to deacons. It can happen to the Sunday school teacher. It can happen to anyone in church. The main thing, we need to keep our focus on the Lord. See, He wants us to grow in word and in His faith. And when we do, we will grow. A school teacher gave three of his students a difficult problem. And he said, you will find it very hard to solve. But he said, there is a way. There is a solution. And after repeated attempts, one of the students gave up in despair. And he said, there is no way. There is no way to solve this problem. The second student had not succeeded, yet he was smiling and unconcerned. I know it can be done because I have seen it done. The third student worked on for a long time. The rest had given up. His head ached, his brain ached, and his brain was in a whirl. And yet he went on over it, over and over and over it in his mind. But he didn't give up. And this way he said, I know there's a way because I have seen the Master do it. He's talking about the teacher. In the same way, In the same way, you see, here is faith, the confident that rests not upon what it has, but upon the promises of God. See, the master. See, God will put more on us than we can ever do or handle. But we got to go to him with the problem, and he'll come up with a solution for us. During the last days of Daniel Webster's life, he was very restless and sleepless. From the window where he slept, he could see the Union flag, which floated from the mast of the ship just outside the harbor where he lived. The captain of the ship, hearing that the great statesman, Daniel Webster, was having trouble sleeping, not only left the flag there at night, but he raised up a lantern beside it so that Daniel Webster could see the flag, and he would be encouraged and inspired. You see, God had given a banner to us who fear him, that it may be displayed and not hidden. You see, God has given us his word. He has given us the assurance that when we call upon his holy name, he'll hear us. So let us hold high our flag of faith and hope and joy in God, and raise the light of truth beside it, that even in the dark and the gloom of the world's sin and sorrow, they may see it and be lifted up in hope and in faith in God because of our witness, because of where our focus is in life. The most precious thing that you behold as a Christian in your life is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ desires for our relationship with him to grow and grow and grow, to be totally focused upon him. Back here, my student pastor, and that was a few years ago, wasn't it? Back in the early 80s, I was a student pastor at Anderson Baptist Church, Powell, Alabama. The lady sat way back there in the back. She was a fan of mine. She'd always, you know, amen and all this and all that and everything. And one of these days, I said, you know, we need to commit our life daily and strive and do everything we can to live for him daily. And I went on and on and on. And she says, how in the world would I do that? She was thinking that in her mind. And then after church ago, she said, if I did everything that you were saying I need to do, I couldn't go to work, I couldn't even clean house, I couldn't do that. I said, oh yes, you can. You can. What I'm saying is we need to surrender our life to the Lord, and he will give you direction of what you need to do on a daily basis. I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm just reminding you what the Word of God says, that we are to be committed to him. And I added, you know, prayer in there, that we are to pray continually. And she said, I would be on my knees the whole time. I said, we continually to be in the mode of prayer. And when we do that, then nothing else is going to enter in between you and the Lord and your commitment to him. It don't mean that you got to be at church 24/7. And a lot of kids think that I am. They think I live here. But it's that we are, our mind is continually focused on the Lord so much that nothing else can enter in, like one little grain of sugar calls doubt that will take our focus off the true and living God. You see, that's what I'm talking about this morning. That's what I'm sharing, that our focus needs to be in the right way, in the right priority. And then you don't have nothing to worry about. And the world will see a difference in your life. And the world will be a whole lot different. And people will see you in a different point of view, in a different light. When they see, I love the Lord. And that's who I'm going to serve. That's what Joshua said. For me and my house, I'm serving the Lord. We, as fathers and parents, would say, for me and my household, we're serving the Lord, regardless of what else. You'll be blessed. May we pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for the guidance and wisdom that you give us through it. All you ask for us is surrender, is commitment. Be willing to be flexible with you. And when we're in your word and when we're praying, whether it's on our knees or standing or sitting, Lord, you still hear us. And you're willing to act upon our prayer. You're willing to come to our aid. You're willing to just take us where we are and begin to mold us and fit us into your mold, in your plan, in your purpose. Lord, I thank you for the power that we have through your Holy Spirit to live daily for you. Aside from the distractions or anything, doubt that can enter in. Lord, I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for the response of those who are willing to say, Lord, my life is yours. No longer do I want to be in control or try to control my destination. Lord, I'm in your hands. Whatever the decisions are today, Lord, we know that you're already at work in every one of our lives. Bring us to the point of where you want us to be so we can be an influence and witness to others, and especially in our own personal life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is 341. Lord, I'm coming home. Let us stand as we sing. I'll be here in front to pray with you, talk with you. Whatever God is leading you to do this morning, you come as we sing. Let's please stand. And don't forget about Sunday school. Don't forget about the things that were mentioned. I didn't hear everything this morning, announcements and so forth. But we do have a bulletin, so you can keep in touch with that. If you have any questions, always call the office. And we need to, while I'm thinking about it, lift up Carol Evans, her and her sister family. Her brother in Indianapolis is near death. Maybe not have a day or so to live. Oh. Many of you may know. Is it Merrill? He's seriously ill. He has leukemia, and the way it sounds, he doesn't have long to live. So let's just lift him up in our prayers, okay? Good to have Kenneth and Lois Underwood with us as Lori's parents. And Kenneth, would you close us in prayer, please?
Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day that you provided for us today, that we can come to thy house, where we can hear thy word, where we can hear this beautiful singing, dear Lord. We just pray that our hearts be open to thy word, and that we share it with those we come in contact, each and every place that